Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rallis Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallis, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us any Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our Wednesday evening Bible study. And we just want to invite you and let you know a little bit about us. We are a very loving church, a very loving congregation, where I've always said at Rallis, there's no person is perfect, and everybody's okay with that, and I think that's a wonderful thing. We got a group of people that are really striving to further God's kingdom, not only physically in the world around them, but also spiritually in their own hearts. We really must always emphasize that the kingdom of God is not only around the believers around us, but also inside of our own hearts. We must continue to strive to get to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our goal, is to help each other do that. And we just thank God for the opportunity to do so. I'd like to wish happy anniversary today to David and Susie Rucker. David and Susie have been wonderful additions here at Rallis Baptist Church, and we're proud to have them. David and Susie, happy anniversary. Also, several birthdays coming up over the course of the next week, and another anniversary as well. We'll get that in a second. But on Saturday the 7th, Anne Marie Isaacs is celebrating a birthday. On Sunday the 8th, Mr. Kyle Richardson has a birthday. Monday the 9th, Miss Kim Fancher. Tuesday the 10th, Miss Neva Brent. And Wednesday the 11th is Steve and Karen Ritchie's anniversary. Steve and Karen, many of you know them, wonderful additions here as well. And happy birthday, happy anniversary to all those folks. I'll tell you, it's just great. It's great to have these people in our lives, and I thank God that whenever I became a Christian, I lost a lot of friends. Whenever I started serving the Lord and I answered a call to preach, I lost a whole lot of acquaintances, people that used to hang around me. And a man asked me one time, he said, "How are you able to do that? How are you able to start all over?" And I say, it's not really starting over at all, because God takes the friends that you used to have and replaces them with brothers and sisters. And there's a bond that's closer together in a church than you'll ever find in any social club. You won't find it in anything else in this world except in the people that have been bought by the blood of Christ. And we've been made whole. We've been made together as a church. Now, I've got brothers and sisters that are all over this country that are in the same church that I am. And I want you to see that the church is not four physical walls, a roof, and a floor. But if the church is a group of believers, the church is people that have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And so I've got brothers that are in eastern Kentucky. I've got brothers in Africa. I've got brothers on every continent, sisters as well. And I'll tell you, that is what brings a people together. It's the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That will give you friends beyond what you lose. That'll give you everything you ever desired, and far spiritually, because Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the fact that He really reaches down and picks people up where they can't pick themselves up. I want to share with you a little bit today out of the Old Testament book of Malachi. And if you're where you can share with me in this, the best way to find Malachi is to go to the book of Matthew and take one step back into the Old Testament. Last book of the Old Testament. Malachi is a little book. It's one of the minor prophets. But please don't misunderstand it when pastors say it's one of the minor prophets. The only thing they mean by minor is that it's shorter in length. The message is still major. Friends, everywhere you go in the book, in the Bible, there are major messages. Regardless of the length of the book, regardless of the length of the passage, the Bible has a major message for you in your life. As a matter of fact, it is the only book that has life-changing qualities about it. It is a living, breathing book. It's an entity of its own because it was God-breathed by the Lord of heaven. And I thank the good God that we have a preserved copy of this book, that it has no blemish, it has no spot, it has no stain. It's perfect in what God wants it to say. Malachi is a major message about God's love, His honor, His faithfulness, but it also reminds us of God's judgment. It prepares us to return to God and actually calls us to prepare for the day of the Lord. Malachi delivered God's message to His people after they returned to Jerusalem from exile in Babylon. Now, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah had exhorted them to rebuild the temple so God would once again manifest His glorious presence in the city of Jerusalem. The prophet Ezekiel had predicted that one day God would once again fill His temple with glory. Yet nothing spectacular had happened. The land of Judah was a small, politically insignificant backwater in the international landscape. No Israelite king reigned. No miracles had occurred to demonstrate God's presence. Worship practices continued, but the people's enthusiasm had waned. Does that sound familiar to anyone today? Does that sound like some of the local churches that we have? Does it sound like some of the churches that have gone abroad? The worship practices continue, but the people's enthusiasm has waned. Malachi appeared on the scene to urge people to renew their enthusiasm for God and His commandments before the Lord returned to judge His people. Malachi addresses some of the most fundamental issues in the Christian life. How does God look upon our worship? What offerings bring Him pleasure? How do we grow closer to God? What does God say about finances, marriage, divorce? Malachi urges people to return to the covenant love relationship that they once enjoyed. This is a fitting finale to the Old Testament, and it will sound on 4 centuries later from the mouth of John the Baptist. Malachi features a unique writing style. This prophet anticipates the thoughts and struggles of people and then voices their concerns. The book opens with a powerful statement. I have loved you, says the Lord. God's love motivates and permeates every encounter He has with you. Can I say that again? I'm afraid you may have missed that. God's love motivates and permeates every encounter He has with you. In order to understand God's blessing and His discipline, you must accept His love. In return, God expects your best, not your spiritual leftovers. Don't bring God your spiritual leftovers. He's more deserving than that. He's more fitting than that. It's not for you and I to decide what we give God. God has already laid out the plan. We are to bring Him our very best. The very best that we have in the storehouse of our hearts is to be brought with God. The most talent that you have is to be given to God. The most time that you have is to be given to God. Our finances, everything that we have, the very best are to be given to God. God's love explains the passionate way that He defends the marriage commitment and the desire for families to produce godly offspring. Now listen, friends, the day of the Lord is coming. That is a reality. And it will be a day of purifying and refining. And it will be a day of when people who have been careless in Christianity or negligent with their family, God's call to return to Him ought to prompt us to make these relationships right. Now, you may identify with the insincere worshipers who spurred God's condemnation. The book of Malachi closes as it opened with good news. Good news. If you've been struggling in your family, take heart. Know that God wants to work in your relationships to bring healing and intimacy back into your family. I want to speak with you one certain part of this wonderful book of Malachi. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let me share these verses with you. Malachi says, Behold, chapter 3, verse 1, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to His temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, He is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years, and I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Now, friends, we may change. Our circumstances may change. But God remains perfectly consistent. He is not whimsical or capricious in His dealings. He is loving, patient, and gracious toward us all the time. Even in the middle of our difficulties. Even in the middle of our times in which we don't realize that we even need help, but God is there refining us. Are you facing difficulty? Could it be that the Lord is using your situation to purge sin from your life? Throughout Scripture, God purges sin from the lives of His people through adversity. Through adversity, He does this. This was the case for Israel, as revealed through Malachi. The people were questioning God and whining because He had not met their expectations. Through the mouth of His prophet Malachi, the Lord therefore warns His people that He will come with a refining fire. God will come as a refiner. The picture of the ancient refiner of silver is used by the prophet to describe the actions of God in the life of His people. For He is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. The description is both vivid and deliberate. A refiner's fire melts down a bar of silver or gold, separates out the impurities that ruin its value, burns them up, and leaves the silver and gold intact. Yet the Lord does not come with fire, and that is both fearful and painful. The Lord does come with fire. Christianity is never a plaything, because the God with whom we have to deal is like fire, and fire is serious. But at the same time, the furnace of affliction in the experience of the family of God is always for refinement, not for destruction. In addition, God the Father is promising to send one who is the messenger of the covenant, who will come as the refiner, and whose coming will be prepared for by a prophet. What Malachi is predicting is nothing less than the coming of Jesus, the Christ, whose way is prepared by John the Baptist. Isn't that beautiful? God said what He was going to do, and then God did what He said. That's an amazing thing, because it's so rare to find that in today's society. It's so rare to find people that will back up what they say they're going to do. Promises have been broken. Promises have been left behind. They've been vows that people have made that they've allowed to go by the wayside. But never once has God ever broken any of His promises. Never once has God not done what He said He was going to do. Every time, and listen, I want you to remember this about some of the promises that God has made to you. He's told you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And friend, today He stands right by your side just as prevalently as He was that very first day that you came to know Him. God has been working in you. God has been watching for you. God has been paving over the rough spots in your life, even when we don't understand it. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil, because He is with us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. Those promises of God are still true today. They'll still be true tomorrow, and we can do nothing to prevent God from loving us. You can't go far enough that God can't love you. You can't make a sin serious enough that God's not willing to forgive you. He's just drawing you. He's calling you. He desires to have a relationship with you. He's wanting you to come back into a place where you can be used of God. Friend, stop trying to run. Stop trying to get away. It's not going to do any good. The best thing we can do is to lay down upon our faces and say, here I am, God. Use me. Use me. That is what God desires. Men and women that are willing to lay down their lives and say, God, here I am. Use me. John the Baptist cleared the way of the Lord. And you and I are to clear the way for someone else. God will come to refine His people. We were created in the image of God with the potential and the obligation to reverence God, to trust, obey, and glorify Him. The Scriptures make clear that we are all guilty of sin. We are shot through with impurity of rebellion and unbelief, and we fall short of God's glory. Again and again, the Bible makes it plain.
We are not good down in our hearts.
Friend, there are huge mega churches being built today declaring to you that if you make the right steps and you do the right things, you can bring out the goodness that's deep within inside you. And let me promise you this, I'll witness to this fact, it's not going to happen. They want to tickle your feel-good spot and make you think everything's going fine. And listen, you'll die lost and going to hell because sin must be dealt with. Sin cannot be covered over. Sin cannot be said, it's all right, pat you on the back, everything's going to be okay. Stay in your sin. God loves you. Listen, God calls for us to repent, church. He calls for us to step out from the world and to be differently. God has called us to be a perfect people. And sin must be repented of. If God were not a refiner's fire, heaven would be empty. Let me say that again. If God were not a refiner's fire, heaven would be empty. For we would be left in our sins, unable to stand in His presence. That's just the truth, folks. Let me ask you this. What if you knew with all certainty, what if you knew beyond any doubt whatsoever that this would be the last sermon you ever heard? This would be the last opportunity that you ever had to feel the Holy Spirit in your heart. This would be the last day that you would ever see. This would be the last time that you would ever open your eyes. Would it change? Would it change the way you're living your life today? Would it make a difference in what you look at? Would it make a difference in how you speak? If God were not a refiner's fire, heaven would be empty. For we'd be left in our sins, unable to stand in His presence. God did not want to leave us in a sinful state. And covenanted to preserve His people. God made a covenant to preserve His people. This never changes. The free and sovereign choice of God. Well, bless God, the free and sovereign choice of God is to save sinners. For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed. Jesus comes as a refiner of His people and not their destroyer. Thank you, Lord. Not their destroyer. You see, God is seeking and providing an acceptable sacrifice. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in the former years. Malachi spends a great deal of his book on the issue of proper sacrifice. Because worship is a basic indicator of overall faithfulness to the covenant. On that day, the sacrifices will delight God. God has provided in His Christ the right and only acceptable offering. This is the great truth of the grace of God, that what He demands from sinners, He Himself provides. Isn't that wonderful? What He demanded from you, He provided. God does not want a restoration of Israel's worship and sacrificial system because the ability to delight God cannot be attributed to the ability of those skilled in offering. All the Old Testament sacrifices were emblems pointing to the one great sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. Listen, friend, our worship to delight God must glory in His grace in Christ and trust in His gospel, which is our salvation and the provision of His perfect sacrifice. Amen. Listen, all men and women experience the fires of life in different forms. We must repent and get rid of our own sin, for then we would need no refining. We cannot refine ourselves. Instead, we must trust in the purifying mercy of God. Don't doubt His expertise as a refiner. He's perfect at it. The way to experience the fire of Christ as refining and not consuming is to trust His promise to bring us through the fire to the endless joy. Let me close with this. Salvation is by grace through faith and the purifying mercy of God. We close them in a word of prayer.
Father God, we thank You, dear Lord, that You are a refiner. But Father, You refine so that we might be purified and not destroyed. God, I want to thank You for that fact. I want to thank You, dear Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to thank You, dear God, for the embodiment of Christ Himself in the believers today. And I want to thank You for the fellowship, dear Father, that You provided for all believers throughout eternity. Lord God, I just want to ask that You might be with all those that have been listening this morning. Father, many have been sick, and I pray that they might be healed. Father, many are hurting, and I pray that You might comfort them. Dear God, many are seeking for something, and I thank You for that, dear Lord. And I pray that You might put somebody in their path today to give them the answer to what they're seeking, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory. Thank You, dear God, for all that You do. Thank You for the sacrifice You made on the cross. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.